Morning, church. Kia ora. Talofa lava. Malolilei. Mabuhay. Which else did I forget? Konnichiwa. Namaste. Ni hao. Hola. Welcome, welcome to church. It's such a privilege for us, for me to speak to you and deliver the word of God today. And I can't imagine how it's going to be amazing because God wanted to speak to each and every one of us, not because of my own wisdom, but because of God. Yeah. Praise God. Yes, how many of you enjoy the Sermon on the Mount series? Yeah, it's really good, eh? Yeah, last week when Nu was speaking on hypocrisy, I remember, you know, how it was so intense when back in the days the people just pray and just put their hands up like that in every public places and their hands and I mean their face and their eyes is just right up there. It speaks to me so hard. And before I deliver my message to you today, let me introduce to you to my family. Ta-da! Yes. This is my family on the left side. That's my dad, my sister, my three brothers, my mom, and that little girl there is me. Yeah, I actually came from a family of nine, including my parents. I am supposed to be the youngest, but when I was 7 years old, there's another little girl that came in. I was like, okay. And one of my sister, who is the eldest, is actually not there for some reason. And my brother, who is on the left side beside my mom, he lives down in Christchurch with his whole family and planted the church as well. Praise God. And he's been the one praying for our whole family for salvation. And it's amazing how God works. And I really praise God for his life. And of course, on the left side, you can see my man, Alfred Mabasa. Can you please ask my husband to stand up? Yeah, and see the people. Yes, yeah. That's my husband, my partner in crime, my partner in service. And praise God, we've been married for 20 years. Can you believe that? Thank you, Lord, for the patience, for the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, and then that was taken just this year, actually. And after I introduced my parents and my family, I just wanted to let everyone know that I was actually born in Manila. I'm a Kiwi right now. New Zealand has been my home for 8 years. Yes, woohoo! And I came from a very humble beginning, and in fact, I have to actually bring myself into different fast food chains to work, enable for me to finish my studies. And one of the most memorable fast food restaurant I worked with was with Carl's Jr. back in the 90s. Guys, we got Carl's Jr. in the Philippines in the 90s. Yeah, so the branch that I actually was assigned is a very small branch, and not just the space, and even the foot traffic was really slow. And one of the popular food from Carl's Jr. back then is the onion rings. So the onion rings has to be transported from one of the nearest, busiest branch of Carl's Jr., so we could have it in our store, freshly delivered, freshly made every day. Now, my store manager asked me, Alvira, would you mind just going into that busy branch so you could do trays of onion rings for our store? And I enthusiastically say, yes. So off I go, I went there, and then the store manager says to me, of that busy branch, Alvira, that is the workstation for the onion rings. And then that's the freezer, the walk-in freezer, and it's big, like this whole area. And then next to that is the stack room. I said, okay. So there you go. Manually, I was peeling all the onion rings. I was really crying. And then after I peeled them, I sliced them. After I sliced them, rolled them into flour, And then after I roll them, dip it into butter. And then after that, I have to roll them again in breadcrumbs. And then after I roll them in breadcrumbs, I have to layer them into trays. Oh, there you go, my lovely onion rings. And then when I reach the trays, I have to bring it into the walk-in freezer. And the walk-in freezer is like 10 to 15, 20 steps away from the workstation of the onion rings. So I have that tray. Imagine, 10 to 15 steps. So that's 1, 2, 3. Count with me, everyone. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, that's a good timing in my station. So 10. So then when I open the door of the walk-in freezer, I put that trays of onion rings. I get in. So I put it there, and then I've seen some empty trays as well. So I was like, oh, that's good. Looks like I'm going to be doing a lot of onion rings and take these trays out. And then when I was trying to open the door, you know it. It doesn't move. The latch doesn't move. I turn it upward. I turn it downward. I turn it sideways. It doesn't move. I was like, uh-oh. And so what I did, I just took one of the trays and I just create some big noise inside the freezer. I was like, hey, someone in here. So I literally locked myself inside. And can you imagine that you're inside the freezer? I was so cold. I was freezing. I was shaking, not because of coldness, but because my fear to die. And can you imagine how it will look like? Yeah. So unconsciously, I was praying that someone would hear me. I was persistent. I was consistent in doing that big noise. And I was so anxious. I was so persistent, and I have the confidence that somehow, somewhere, someone will hear me when I was doing that noise. And thankfully, you know, when you work with fast food chain, there's a person what we call a production controller. That production controller normally stands behind the warmer of the food, you know, where the burgers and spaghetti and the chickens are. You've seen it somewhere. There's a production controller at the back, always. He's the one controlling whether the food is okay to serve or not. So that person doesn't normally go in his station. Never. It's a sin for him to go out and leave that station. So thankfully, that person has to actually get something from the stack room. So off he go. He went there. And then he heard me because I was, you know, creating some noise. And to think that the walk-in freezer normally is really thick. And then he hears me. He hears that someone is actually inside the walk-in freezer. So before he went and get something from the stack room, he opened the door and he saw me still creating that noise with trays. And then, to his worry, he rushed me to go outside that walk-in freezer. And the store manager of that store was literally so afraid and worried about me that she has to actually send me home early to rest and recover. The moral lesson of the story is always bring a tray with you. Or probably work in Starbucks than in Carl's Jr. No, I'm just kidding. That's a warm-up story. Okay. Praise God, I'm still alive, and I'm here talking to you guys. Hallelujah. You know, church, what I'm going to talk to you about today is prayer. Did you know that the word prayer mentioned in the Old Testament at 245 times and 68 times in the New Testament? The word prayer is actually came from the Greek word prosekomai. Everyone says prosekomai. Yes, pros means toward, facing before, and emphasizing the direct approach of the one who prays in seeking God's face. Ekomai, originally to speak out, utter aloud, express, and wish, then to pray or to vow. Now, our best friend Webster, the dictionary, defined the word prayer in a transitive verb and SOAS intransitive verb. So one, the transitive verb definition of Webster is it entreats, implore. Often we use function word in introducing a question, request, or plea to get or bring by prayer. And as an intransitive verb, prayer defined by Webster as to make a request in a humble manner to address God or a God with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I think that's where the acronym ACTS came from, that when you pray, you do the ACTS. Yes, but what does the Bible say? That was actually the Webster and the Greek word prayer came from. But what does the Bible say about prayer? Oopsies. There you go. If you could please all open your Bible at the book of Matthew. Yeah? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. If I could please request everyone to stand up in honor of the Word of God. Thank you. So let's all gonna read these ones. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is on heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you for this day. We glorify your name, for you are worthy of all our praises. Holy Spirit, we ask for your leading to speak to our hearts today, and that your preaching of your message will not come from wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your people's faith might rest not on man's wisdom, but on God's power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may now be seated. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Church, in a place of prayer, selfishness is out. It's a fact. In fact, as we can see, in the Lord's Prayer, it says there the first word, our Father in heaven. It didn't say, my Father. It says, our Father. So the selfishness is totally out. Back then, Jesus saw it needful for his disciple for what must be the matter and method of their prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, as we can see, it has much in a little. It is personally composed by God and used with understanding without being needlessly repeated. The Lord's Prayer also works with the three Holy Trinity. Bread is provided by our loving Father. Forgiveness is dispensed by the Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit works as it delivers us from the evil one. It teaches us to renew the desire of our souls towards God. We are taught to hate and dread sins while we hope for mercy. Be prepared to resist the temper and not to become tempers of others. And here's a promise that if you forgive, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Because those who desire mercy with God, mercy must be shown. And praise God for the Lord's Prayer. Because if we offer prayer in the morning, it already covers the day that has already begun. And if we pray at night, it will cover the following day. Hallelujah. But did you know, church, there's one fact about prayer that it is becoming one of the least priorities of the world today. Oh, don't forget, the title of our sermon today is Prayer, a New Power. You see, thank God for the slides. And then, of course, we've seen this earlier. Did you know that Pew Service Research Service says that out of the 35,000 respondents who ask how frequent they pray, there are 55% who accept that they pray every day. That's back in 2014. And 23% seldom or never prays at all. And that's quite a big number. Yeah. Some prays weekly, some prays monthly, and some they just don't know. Why not all people pray? Why does Christians spend less time in praying? It's a good question. And why do people not pray again? Well, is it because you and I are sometimes in our comfort zone that we don't say a little prayer to God, even just for simple Thanksgiving? Okay, the reason being is that church today, our generation is continuously evolving. We are always looking for something new food, new movies, new books. What else? There's so many of it, even technology, gadget, food, restaurants, places to visit. We all want to do everything at the same time in that matter of 24 hours. That 24 hours is going to be the same every day. And the home entertainment is actually one of the time-consuming of our time, by the way. It started with the radio, and then we got the TV. And then when we got the TV, we got those Betamax in the 80s. We got the VHS. On the 90s, we got the CD player, the DVD player. And then we got right now the HBO and the Netflix, where you can just sit in your couch at your comfort, watch your favorite movie. Why do people binge or gravitate into binge watching? The reason being, my friends and my family and my church, is that we all are into different circumstances every day. And that's because of stress. And who wouldn't want to escape if you're a student, if you're a uni student, that you got the whole finals, the whole week of studying, finally, yes, it's done. So I'm just going to sit here or do my phones. Or if you're a working employee, like you got the whole week of whole deadlines. Your boss says, now, I need that yesterday. Yesterday, I need that yesterday. Okay, it's now. Or if you're a mom, you wanted to finish all the tasks that you wanted to finish for your family. Sounds like you? Guilty as charged. So that includes me. And that's also, as I mentioned, our escape. And in fact, we are developing a what we call a circumstance-driven time, because it all affects on what we do, on what we are experiencing based on circumstances. But how do we often use our time? Because our time also determines what our lifestyle we're going to be. Yes. Okay, so is our time driven by circumstances with an S? Or are we driven by values? Yeah, good question. Okay, so is your time by circumstance, meaning you're being responsive or reactive to the environment that is in front of you right here, right now, I'm gonna react? Or is it the time driven also by like your desires that I'm gonna be indulging myself with time and situation that is pleasing to me for a moment, and it's called self-gratification? Or my time is driven by values, meaning I spend my time wisely based on what I value, what's precious to me, what's important to me, what is I give I give high regard on. For example, when I was actually given the privilege to speak to you the message today, I spent hours and hours studying, listening, because I value it. Because God has called me to deliver His message today. I value it, spending time of studying, learning, reading, consulting, asking people for wisdom, but most importantly, praying and listening to God, desiring what He has to say to us and to you, so that you and I will learn from it, will follow it, will apply it, so we could grow together our faith in God. Yeah? Because if that time, or if that job that's given to me by God is important to me, I will invest and I will do my very best to do it for God. Praise God. And so for, let's say, husband and wife, you know that everyone, that Alfred and I, we got our Thursday date night. Phone is off, man. No one can disturb us. Thursday is our date night. So why do we have to set that date? Because we value our relationship to each other. If he is valuable to me, I got to spend time with him. He got to spend time with me so that our marriage will become healthy in the presence of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if I value my time with God, that means I have to spend my time with God as well. Is it right? By how? Of course, by praying, by reading the word. Because, brothers and sisters, we cannot expect to grow our intimate relationship with God without spending time with Him. Or if this book, the Bible, which is the basic instruction before leaving earth, is always closed. Yeah? I know everyone knows it already. I know that prayer is important, but why? Why are we not doing it? Why are we not spending time to God? Yeah? Because, you know, family, if you have no time, this one's here. I'll tell that one later. But if you have no time, that means you have no life left, because time is life. And how we spend our time is actually very important. And, you know, right now, there's a very popular thing that takes so much of our time, which is called, da-da-da-da, cell phones. Yes? Yeah, so we got here a survey, a post from New York, which was conducted last year, that the Americans check their phones every 12 minutes. Can you believe that? Every 12 minutes. It's like, oh, there's someone. Oh, am I speaking already 12 minutes? Oh, no, it's just 8 minutes. So I'm going to check my phone later. Okay. So 1 in 10 check their phones every 4 minutes. Can you believe that? Like, let's say, for example, I'm talking to my husband. Hey, so how's your day going? It's like, oh, it's okay. Just a second. 4 minutes. I'm going to check my phone. Okay. Okay, so that's how Americans, or the survey says. And then 4 hours is the longest an average person is prepared to go before the need to check their phones becomes too much. It's like, oh, it's already 4 hours, you're too much. Okay, I'm just going to leave you. But then, most of us actually do it that way. Yeah, browsing. Why? Why are we spending too much on their phones? Yeah, why? Question is why? Why is it so easy for us to check our Facebook? Oh, okay. All our media, multimedia, all the social media on our phone, rather than spending time with God. And why is it that when we're praying, that's the time that we fell asleep? Can you relate? Yeah. And why is it also that during the time that we're praying, we want to make time faster? It's like, Lord, this is what I need. I need you. Okay, can you please give this one to me? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We're rushing because we wanted to check the messages. It's only just 4 minutes. I have to check my phone. I have to check my message. Okay. But did you know, guys, that the way we spend our time is going to reveal what our values are. Yeah? The way I spend my time is going to reveal what my values are. And what you and I do with our time today, we're going to determine what we're going to be or where we are tomorrow. Yeah? So if we spend doing studying, so much studying about, let's say you're studying about law. So if you're doing it over time, tomorrow you're going to be a lawyer. Easy as that. But why do we need to know the value of prayer? Because church, praying is becoming one of the least priorities of the world today. And because we lose the value of prayer. We sometimes know that, I'm just going to pray later. Or I'm going to pray tomorrow. Yeah? Most of the time, most of us are actually familiar with the booklet one-to-one. Yeah? It says there that Christianity is more than a religion. It is first and foremost, a relationship with God, and communication is foundational to a good and growing relationship with God. Prayer is also an absolute privilege and honor, knowing that we're talking to the God of the universe. Thank you, Pastor Weeyong. And knows that He actually is loving us, that He cares for us, and that He listens to us. Yeah? And one of the person that I also consult is that, you know, if I can talk about anything about prayer, is that I pray that people will draw more closer to God than drawing from God. Yes? Praise God. There's actually a lot of stories in the Bible that talks about prayer. So there's King Hezekiah who prays for healing. He is healed and is given a longer life in the book of Isaiah. King Solomon as well prays for wisdom. And we know the story that he leads his nation in 1 Kings. And many more Bible characters. Because the truth is family. A primary purpose of prayer is to discover the will of God in our lives. As we seek His way, He works in our hearts and in our minds with His word and develop our understanding of the situation. Then our eyes will be open to His point of view so that we can pray according to His will. I'm just going to share you a very funny story. It's all about me when I was young, growing up, joining all the singing competition. Someone can relate. So in every competition, singing competition, I actually joined. I never won. Ever. Ever. Why do I have to say it three times? So that it will actually stick to us. Okay, I never won. And can you imagine the heartbreak? Like, I didn't win? Really? How come? Yeah, so I was really praying to actually win. But in every singing competition, there's also like a dance competition, which I joined too. And for some reason, we always won on the dance competition. I don't know why, you know, back in the days, I just don't want to do my moves today. Okay, so for some reason, we always win, like that group. And not just winning, you know, we always are the champion. Praise God. Yeah, come on, who's the dancing group in here? Okay, so can you imagine, like, how come that I didn't win in the singing competition, even though I practice? When you hear me singing, you're going to know why I don't, why I can't win. And I don't want to sing now, so I'm just probably dance. So every heartbreak that, I didn't win, God always gives me something to hold on to, like, hey, you're going to win into the singing competition. There's hope in there. Why does God allow me to experience all those failures or mistakes or those things that I didn't win, so that me in here, He would open my eyes and my mind and my heart that it's not for me. Okay, it's not for me. My child is not for you. This is for you. So that I would pray according to His will. So that I would open my heart and see the situation according to His eyes, not from my own eyes. Yeah? Praise God. So should I dance now? Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. And by the way, for those who want to sing, I love this. For those who want to sing, but you don't have the voice to sing, you can always join the prayer meeting downstairs. You can always join the prayer meeting downstairs every Sunday, 9:30 in the morning. Pastor Richard and the whole, you know, senior elders there, we're going to join you. And if you still love to sing, But you don't have the voice, you can join the guest services ministry, or kids ministry, or the multimedia. You can still serve God. And that's a good news. And who wants to serve God? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Whew. Church prayer is also part of obedience. Obedience is part of lordship. So prayer is a powerful tool which God acts in this world. What is truly amazing is that he has given us the privilege participating in his holy work by simply talking to him. Just talking to him, you know. It's not that we change anything through prayer, but he has chosen to bring about that change in conjunction with our request. So some of the testimony, husband and wife. Okay, when Alfred and I wasn't saved yet, I was really praying that that the Lord will lead us into a good relationship spiritually. So I had a chance to work in a company with Bible study on a Monday morning. And I was really wanting to have a church and know God more. So without Alfred knowing, when he was sleeping at night, I was laying my hands on him, praying for him, that when I'm going to invite him in a church that one of my colleagues is asking me to go, he would go. And not only that, I'm praying for his salvation. So husbands, your wife is praying for you while you're sleeping. And wives, your husband is also praying for you as well when you're sleeping. So I was praying for him, earnestly praying for him before I invite him to go to church. And praise God, after several prayers and invited him to come into one of the church, both of us responded into an altar call. Praise God. Yeah, and that's the power of prayer. It's not me. It's not me doing this every single night with all my heart. And then I sometimes, you know, like when he's in deep sleep, like, I will not get distracted. So I just keep on praying for him. Okay, it's the power of prayer that answers it. Yeah, it's not me. It's God's power. Because in ourselves, we have no ability to save believers or even heal the sick, because we're not doctors. I can't even look at blood. Or overcome evil, but we can pray and watch the power of Almighty God intervene in our lives. Yeah? Praise God. So, what do we need to do? Easy. It's so easy. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to pray. Turn to your other neighbor and said, we need to pray. Okay. So what do we need to do? I said we need to pray, but we need to pray with perseverance. If the Lord doesn't allow me to win in that singing competition, remember? I have to pray on what His will is, which is the dancing competition. But I have to pray and being persistent and have that perseverance in my heart. In the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus continuously tell his disciples to continuously say, ask God. Yes, because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, the Lord says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For anyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. We all know that one, that we're sometimes we're praying for a job, but we don't even apply for a job. Right? Yes. This is actually a really classic example. Every time I hear it, I still throw a big laugh. I'm praying for a job, but we're not applying for a job. Funny, isn't it? And then, in the book of Philippians, Paul urges to respond to anxiety by praying about everything. Therefore, it's obvious that God wants us to come with Him with all our needs. So in Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Yes? Present your request to God. And then not only that, God knows what our needs are even before we ask Him, right? The Bible also says that. And number two, we have to pray with confidence. How are we going to pray with confidence? We have to pray according to His will. Because if God's will for myself is to go into and be excellent in the dancing competition and not in the singing competition, I don't need to pray for me to actually be a champion in singing competition. Because God's will for my life is this. Yeah? Praise God. In 1 John, verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, the Lord says that this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we pray and ask anything according to His will, He hears us. In verse 15, if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Yes? Praise God. And in Mark 11, 22, God says, therefore, I'll tell you that whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. When you ask for a job, do you believe that God will give it to you? That the Lord will grant you? Of course, you're applying as well. Do you believe? Do you believe? That's a big question. And of course, last but not the least, pray consistently, because prayer is where the action is. Remember when I was doing my big noise? I was so consistent. I never get tired. I just keep on creating that big noise with that tray so that people would hear me somewhere, somehow, someday, even though it just takes like less than probably 2 minutes. Yeah? So prayer is actually has the same principle, that we have to be very consistent. Yeah? We never cease in praying. We never stop. And the truth is, as Christians, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we go into a different direction. But what does Martin Luther says? Christian without prayer is no more than possible to be alive without breathing. Can you imagine 2 minutes inside that walk-in freezer and then there's no oxygen and I can't breathe? I would die. But what is fearful is that if we die spiritually. So as the conclusion, in every day, enable to survive, to live and make this, you know, body function well, we know that there's a need for us to eat, to sleep, take a shower, go to work, drive, go home again, eat, sleep. Some of them we want to do it, but some of them we don't want to do it, especially on winter, taking shower. But we do it anyways because we actually need it. Otherwise, this body will not function very well. Especially eating. Can you imagine not eating for 2 days? What will happen to our body? Yeah. It's going to get weak. You're right, Pastor Richard. We're going to be so weak. But what about our spiritual life? Isn't it more important than our flesh? Yeah? So, as I wrap up my message, I just want to throw a follow-up question to everyone, that according to the scripture of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15, the Lord's Prayer, that when we pray, first and foremost, do we acknowledge the living God? Yeah? That He is all-powerful and all-knowing? Second, did we ask that our prayer would be according to His will, that our petition is with thanksgiving? Third, did we repent and ask for His forgiveness of all our transgressions that we've done against Him and against our brothers and sisters? Or our prayers just evolve around ourselves? No, me, myself, and I? When Jesus saw it needful for His disciples to have a matter and a method of prayer back then, 2,000 years ago, it's the same right now that Jesus saw the need for the matter and the method for us to pray to Him today. It's the same. It never changed. Because my brothers and sisters, you can't spend any better time than talking and listening to the living God. You just can't. You just can't. Yeah? And I want to share you one of the quotes that my husband is doing. You know, when we're preparing the sermons, it's a teamwork. It's a husband and wife team. And he shared this once to me. He said, oh, you could probably end this with a very famous quote, which is, without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish. Without commitment of starting the very first foundation, which is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Without commitment of me, I'm going to set that 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning is my prayer time with God. No matter what happened, no matter what they're going to do, no matter what the food will come in, it's just that time is with me and God. Okay? More importantly, without consistency. Consistency in what? Consistently in praying, consistently in reading the Word, consistently in talking to God, you'll never finish. You'll never finish what God has called you to do. Whether you're going to be a preacher someday or whether you're going to be the directors of one company one day, you'll never finish. Because at the end of this life, we're all going to be reaching our dead end. You know, because the life that we have here right now is just temporary. Because when our time is over, all we wanted is to win the prize that God has called us to do and to join Him in the eternal life. So that before that time happened, we could just say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Praise God. Fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Hallelujah. Why don't we just pray, church? Father, how grateful we are that we are called your sons and daughters. We thank you once again for your truth about the value and power of prayer. Father God, we pray that you will always lead us on how we use our time, being persistent, consistent, and with confidence in our prayer, knowing that we are in the presence of the powerful and living God. For your kingdom is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Elvira. Amen. You know, how many of us appreciate Elvira? Let's give her a big hand. Thank you. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, for through Him we have been given access to the Father through Jesus. When Jesus lived on this earth, He was tempted in every way and yet remained without sin. When He went up on that cross to die, He died willingly as an innocent man. He was 100% man, and He was 100% God. Because of His humanity, He could take our place to pay for all of our sins. He chose us before we chose Him. And when He rose from the dead, when He came out of that grave, He defeated the power of sin and death once and for all. Therefore, it says that the veil was torn from top to bottom in that temple. In the Jewish temple, there are three sections. There's the outer courts, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The veil was completely torn to provide you and I right access to Him. That we have this privilege, as Elvira shared, that we have this privilege of communicating with the God of the universe. What an honor and what a privilege. And may we this morning consider those words that she shared, that indeed it is a privilege. It is not a duty. It is a privilege to sit at the foot of the Father, to spend time. Sometimes when we pray, it's good to be silent as well. Amen. So I just want to spend a few moments now for us to respond, because I believe that it's important for us to physically respond on the outside to what is going on the inside. And so may I just ask all of us to close our eyes for a moment. And this is not a religious thing that we do that doesn't add more power to the words, but what this does is it gives us privacy and a moment of quiet to respond. So no eyes are looking around, all eyes are closed. If this morning you heard the sermon by our sister Elvira about prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and something that she said is stirring inside of you, whether it be that you feel like you haven't spoken to God for a long time, or maybe somehow you've lost that understanding that it is a privilege and a relationship with God. Or maybe you don't know how to pray, but you want to grow. You want to have, you desire to have that type of relationship with God that Elvira spoke about. And you're a Christian today, but somehow you've lost that. Would you put your hand up? And I'd like to pray for you on the count of three. If that is you, there's something in your prayer life that you want to respond to and you want to grow. One, two, three. Keep your hands up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We see those hands. God sees your hands. He sees your heart more importantly. Keep those hands up. Let me pray. Father, you see all these hands. All these hands represent your people. Sons and daughters of the Most High King, desiring to go deeper in their relationship with you. That maybe somewhere along their journey, they've lost that desire to communicate with you. They've forgotten what an honor and a privilege it is to speak with you. Lord, I thank you for these hands. That I ask that you honor their desire right now to get closer to you. That even right now, as I pray, that you will give them supernaturally a new heart for this relationship with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Eyes still closed for a moment. Eyes still closed. Second group of people I'd like to speak to this morning is for those of us in this auditorium, if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe you once walked with him, and for a season in your life, you've turned away. You've walked away from him. And as I've said this morning, you realize that it's time to come back. It's time to come back. It's time to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to invite you to respond as well. You know who you are, and I won't prolong this. You know who you are. If you want to come to Jesus for the very first time, or you want to come back to him, on the count of three, I want to invite you to do something very bold, to put your hand up. One, two, three. All right. All right, praise God. Father, we thank you so much for your word, basic instructions before leaving earth. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, your counselor that actively is involved in our lives. We thank you for the Great Commission. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your involvement. Ultimately, it's such a privilege to serve you. We give you praise, we give you honor. And we receive this word this morning that it will be powerful and effective, and it will transform our week this week, that we'll take it into our Monday, into our Tuesday, our Wednesday, our Thursday, our Friday, our Saturday. And until we meet again as a church, we love you, we honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen.